I want to also wish you all Happy New Year. I believe that this year is a fresh start. You know, I normally take New Year's as it's just another day, you know, okay, we've marked some time, we've added another year, and we're going on, but my sense for this year, for our lives, our individual lives, and for this church, is that it's not a new beginning, but there's something fresh happening within our church, within our body. And, you know, we know that normal Christianity is healings and miracles and the gifts of the Spirit and signs and wonders and breakthroughs and lives really being transformed through the unconditional love of God and the knowledge of His grace. And if you've been here any length of time, you know that, you understand that. And that's our heart, our purpose is to continue to build the body like that. But that being said, I continue to feel like in my prayer time, in my sense, that this time, this year, this 2020, is going to be a different kind of year for us. This is a year when the freshness and newness in different aspects of the Word of God are going to begin to take place in our lives and in the body of this church like we haven't seen. This is a part of what, through these last 8-9 years, this is what the Lord has been preparing us for this year. And I wish I could share with you all the things that the Lord has shown me, but it's going to be a piece at a time as I watch with you the things that the Lord has spoken to me that are coming. And I expect to see, I expect to hear, I expect to take place for us in this little church in the cornfield. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Never look at the size. Always look at Jesus. Okay? Praise God. I want to make this brief, and I want to talk about security for a moment. I do want you all to know, if you have heard, which probably everybody has, about the shooting in Texas, at the church in Texas. And I want you to know that we do have security. We not only do we pray for our people, not only do we expect divine protection, but we have security. I want you to be aware of that. This is a safe space, okay? I want you to know that, all right? We'll cover this more a little bit in detail later on as we move on, but because I want you to be informed that we, the staff, know and understand things. We also have wisdom, we have faith, but we want you to know that you are protected, all right? Okay, shall we get in the Word? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I'm asking you to continue to pierce our hearts with the reality of the picture of our identity in the way you would have for us to get it, to understand, to hear it, and to believe it, to live it out in the reality of what you have for us, to see the fruit of it in our lives rather than being some mystical, ethereal, peripheral thing in our lives, but that the reality of our identity would be what we grasp and live out, as you say, from now on, in Jesus' name. Amen. We started a series back in the beginning of December called Choose It or Lose It. Choose It or Lose It. The whole point of this series has been to introduce us to, I mean, we teach about our identity in Jesus Christ pretty regularly in our classes and in church. But the point of this series is to get embedded into us the reality of who we are, and so that we have a picture developed, a visual developed that can drop from our heads and the knowledge in our heads, the information that we gather about our new identity into our hearts, and we actually start living it out. Because when you get the idea and the grasp, the fullness of who we are in Jesus Christ, healings begin to manifest. Miracles begin to take place. The gifts of the Spirit begin to happen in our lives. Circumstances, the way we look at, oh, let's just say the negative circumstances, no longer have the effect on us that they used to on that past identity. Jesus said, he who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. We've been on this scripture for a while. If you find your life, if you decide that your identity, your life, the life you're going to live in, which is your identity, if you decide to stay there, and it is less than what Jesus has called you to, what he's given, what God has given to us in a new identity, then all it does is hurt us. It brings destruction into our lives. It is not beneficial to the full, and let's call life experience, the quality of life, what God has given us in this higher life in Jesus Christ and his identity for us. Now, so many times, because Christians grab a hold of, I got a new identity, I'm new in Christ, I'm old things have passed away, all things have become new, but we don't really know what that means. I mean, honestly, it takes kind of painting a picture to get this, because we're visual learners, all of us are. We can take information. Anybody, I mean, I can read an instruction manual. I can follow the instructions, and I can say, okay, that's, I get it. But until it becomes real in my heart, the Bible is an instruction manual, until it becomes real in my heart and I can paint a picture, I can grab a hold of it, and I can take this picture with the word and apply it, it kind of remains just up in the clouds, maybe almost mystical. I get it. I don't get it. I can apply it. I can't apply it because I don't really understand it fully. So that's been the point of this series, is to get into us, engrafted into our hearts, the reality of who we are and paint the picture of this identity, the real picture of it, not the performance of it, but the picture of who we are. Because once we get it, you're going to live different. I'm telling you. You're going to see things different. You're going to, your circumstances, when you run headlong into circumstances, you're going to look through your identity at those circumstances, and things are going to be different. That's the whole point, right? Okay. Choose it or lose it. So we choose our new identity, or we really live in the lesser identity. We have to choose this higher life, higher identity. It's got to be a choice. When we make a choice and we choose something, it really is a willful, conscious decision with some kind of active movement forward into it. It's got movement. It's not just, okay, yeah, okay. How many here have accepted, chosen Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? If there's anybody that isn't, you can. It's easy, okay? We'll talk about it later. For all of us that have chosen Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we've made a choice. But it was a conscious decision that said, I want you, Jesus. I want your lordship in my life. My life is, whether it was good, bad, or indifferent at the time, I remember how you felt about it. I need you. I can't do this. When you did that, it was followed with that conscious decision by an action, by some kind of movement forward. I got to find out what I've got. If nothing else, I've got to find out what I've got. Okay, I got to get a Bible. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go find some Christians. Okay, you see what I'm saying? And we moved into that conscious decision of Jesus. The decision that we make, the choice that we make, what we choose, how we choose, we are doing the same thing in our identity. This is what we don't do. We consciously acknowledge it because the word says it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Okay, old things have passed away, all things have become new. What does that really mean to me when I'm living life. I got eternal life now, right? But when I'm living this eternal life here, right now, how does that look for me? So, first we have to make the choice to live this new identity. It has to happen. Otherwise, by default, you're going to live in the old identity. It's going to keep coming up. It's going to keep surfacing. It's going to be there. It's going to be in front of your face. The circumstances are going to come. You're going to default or revert to your old identity, which has really passed away. But you have to choose the new one. So you got to know what you're choosing, right? Okay, here's the picture. This is the beginning. We're still on the intro. Here's the beginning. Jesus was the very image of the Father on this earth, right? He displayed and revealed the character of our Father God, and the nature of God, and the will of God, and the love of God, and how he faced everything. He revealed the identity of the Father, right? But he was the Son of Man. He did this as a man. Now, after Jesus' life, death, burial, and resurrection, everything changed. Jesus, the Son of God, left us a template in not just how to live by performance, by behavior modification, but how to live by receiving him, choosing him, in a new identity that looks like Jesus. Because as Jesus lived through the Father's identity on this earth, we live through his identity. Our lives are hidden in him. Okay? Our lives are hidden in him. This is Colossians. So if our lives are hidden in him, there is no longer us. We are living through, seeing through, moving through. Our whole life and existence now is through him. But we have to choose this. Choose it or lose it. All right? I choose to live through his identity. Now, getting the picture of his identity is what's most important to us, because that's the template, that's the picture that gets built in our hearts from the information that we receive from the Word. I'm looking at his identity. I choose to live through his, and I choose not to live through mine. I don't want to live less. I want to live higher. I want to live as the head, not the tail. I want to live above, not beneath. That's what I want. The want to is not enough. The choosing it with a move forward, an active move forward, is most important for us as Christians. Too often we just sit. We make a choice and we say, Yep, that's true, that's right. And we do nothing. So this is active. This requires activation in our lives for this. This is what God's called us to. I want it. I mean, personally, I want this. I'm hungry for it. So I said, Lord, teach me, this is a while back, teach me how to live in your identity. I've destroyed my old one because it was putrid. Teach me how to live in your identity. Oh, man. Guess what? Experience has come. How are you going to live through Jesus' identity? Okay, I'm almost finished with the intro. I want to give you a picture of choosing your new identity. Okay, and don't go there because we just don't have time. But this is a great example. There's two of them, actually. Number one is Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, and this is about Gideon. If you know Gideon or you understand what happened with Gideon at all, Gideon was an Israelite. Israel had, I mean, they went far away from the Lord. And the Midianites, they were just wreaking havoc over Israel. They were taking everything, destroying everything, or killing people. They were stealing from them. They just had run roughshod over Israel. So Gideon's in this wine press, and he's covered up, hunkered down, hiding away. Some of it is shame. Some of it is weakness. Some of it is who he believes he is. This is his identity. He's threshing wheat, and he's trying to scoop together enough to have food. He doesn't want the Midianites to see what he's doing because they're going to come and take it. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord appears, and he says to Gideon, the Lord, listen to this, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. What? So Gideon has a little talk with the angel of the Lord, and he says, you know, who am I? I mean, my family is the least in Israel, and I'm the least in my family. I'm nobody. I am nothing. This is his identity. And the angel says, you're going to go against the Midianites, and you're going to win. And you're going to deliver Israel. I've called you to be the head, to be the leader. I've called you to stand up. I've called you to lead this troop into victory. That's who you are. He said, now, this is what the angel of the Lord told Gideon, to make it short and sweet. Go pull down. Take your oxen, something with strength in the natural, and go pull down those idols, those monuments built to Baal. Baal was a false god that Israel was worshiping, and this were his family's idols. Go pull them down. Make the statement, O mighty man of valor. When he did that, he chose. From his family, from his relationship with Israel as an Israelite, he chose his new identity. Abruptly, forcefully, visibly, he made a move. This is a picture of what we're called to do. Okay? The next one, let me jump ahead here, is Paul. Paul the Apostle. And Paul, in Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to read it real quick. Verse 4, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews concerning the law, a Pharisee concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me there I have counted loss for Christ the anointed. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as human excrement that I may gain Christ. Paul made an abrupt, by force, decision, conscious decision, and a move. He destroyed who he was, and he was somebody, and said, I'm taking my new identity. This is it. Okay? In Jesus. I said all that to jump forward to Ephesians chapter 4. Would you please? Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I touched on this last week, and I want to do it again. How many know Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing because we don't get it the first time most of the time. The seed goes in to our minds, and it might get in a little ways into our hearts, it might get a little ways into our minds, but we have to hear it, meditate on it, let it do its work, and then all of a sudden one day, we believe it. So it's important to hear the word, and hear the word, and hear the word, so that this gets real to us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. But you, Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, you have not so learned or gained the knowledge of the Anointed One, Christ the Anointed One. Verse 21, if indeed you've heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22, that you put off, it's a decision, it's a choice, put off, destroy, remove, reject your former conduct. The old man which grows corrupt. Corrupt in the Greek is rotten. It affects everything. According to the deceitful lust. First off, we have to choose to put off the old man. That is, choose to put off what's destroying us. Choose to put off what isn't valid anymore. Choose to put off what doesn't belong to us. We have to do this. Nobody's going to do it for us. We have to do it. If we don't do it, we settle for, by default, a combination of new and old. And we struggle. We struggle with receiving what God's given us by grace. We struggle with living in the reality of, wow, the victories. You know, the victories are not elusive. We think they are, but they're not. The reason they become elusive to us, when I say victories, I mean across the board, is because a lot of times we're mixing old, corrupt with new, and this is all because we don't have a grasp or a picture of the reality of our identity through Jesus. Put off concerning your former conduct. Former conduct, our behavior, our performance, our behavior in this way comes out of, you know, negative behavior, you know what it comes from? It comes from our old identity. It's the fruit of our old identity. Put off the behavior by putting off the old identity. And be renewed, verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay, I got to stop thinking the way that I have been. I have to stop it. I've got to change it. I have to choose to change my thinking. If I stay in the same track that I have been, my mind is not being transformed. I'm resisting the word because, you know, the only thing that changes us is when we hear the truth, right? And the truth, the real truth, nothing but the truth, is the word of God. And it is the word, when it gets into us, it is the word that, if as much as we will allow the word of God to change us, it will take place. It will happen in our lives. But we can resist. We can hold off. We can say, I've been more comfortable sometimes than the old man. I've been more comfortable sometimes letting the old rise up. I've struggled, you know, most of my life. My huge struggle was with anger. I wanted to just box everybody. Little old me. And you know what? I had to put that off, but I had to put it off by understanding that wasn't me. That wasn't me. That's dead. That's gone. And accept, but really choose that new through Jesus. Okay? So, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, the way you think. And verse 24, that you put on the new man, which was created by God, for us, according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. That is the identity of Jesus which we have. That's what's been given to us. That is our new identity. Our identity doesn't exist anymore as far as who we were. Our identity is in reality through Jesus. Remember, our lives are hidden in Him. They're hidden in Him. We don't exist. So when we walk and when we talk and when we do and we perceive and we learn and we grow and we make mistakes sometimes, but we reach out and we pray and we seek and we do and we receive from God and we touch people and we love and we have mercy and kindness and goodness and all the fruits of the Spirit and beyond, it is through the identity of Jesus that we have and that we're seeing through and moving through. Let me give you a picture. I was a scuba diver at one time. I took scuba lessons and went to a class. I lived in Washington State. And when I did, that was before I was born again. And That's a couple of years ago. Just kidding. I'm kidding. And in scuba class, we dove in salt water, fresh water. It was both. And in scuba class, we had to go through a process of learning to put on our gear. Our gear was a wetsuit, a buoyancy vest, fins, boots, or booties, a mask, and of course our tanks and regulators and all these things. We had to learn this, and we had to learn how to put it on. We had to learn what happens if something, if we lose something underwater or whatever this was. So I had to learn how to put on this gear that protected me and made things work and really opened up a whole new world, protected me from a harsh environment that actually was destroying my life or would destroy my life without it. In the same way, we put on the new man with all the attributes. Jesus is Jesus. We put on Jesus, his identity. I put on my diving suit, right? We put on our Jesus suit when we put on the new man or the new woman and we're looking through him. In this harsh reality that's all around us, we can live victoriously this way. You don't ever take it off, okay, right? We know that. But this is what Paul is saying, but we got to think differently the way we perceive now. Perceive from his identity. Because that's really who we're operating through. Long time ago, back in 1896, there was a book written called, some of you probably know this, In His Steps. So this is 120 years ago, more plus. In His Steps, What Would Jesus Do? Now, you see, all seen as like these WWJD bands and stickers and all this stuff. It's What Would Jesus... It came out of this book. This book's gone through several updates over the years. It comes up about every 20 or 30 years, and it's kind of like this fad passes through the church. The book's a really good book. We have it. What the book is about, and by Sidney Sheldon is the author, just in case you wanted to know. What the book is about is actually, it's presenting the question in every circumstance, what would Jesus do? And it's saying, you know, well, Jesus would do the right thing. Jesus would do lovingly. Jesus would pray for people. Jesus would give to somebody. Jesus would, and it's actually the behavior of what Jesus would do. But here's my encouragement on this. It's a picture, the book presents a picture of how to live in the new identity of Jesus in this world. That's really what it is. It's like saying, this is my new identity. This is who I really am to this world. And this is what it looks like. It's not behavior modification. This is from my heart. Because of who I now am and a new person through Jesus. All right? He's in me. I got born again. He's in me. My spirit got sealed, got uncontaminatable from sin and darkness and the yuck and the junk that I was subject to all my life. That changed forever when I said, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. Now, how do I live in my new identity, which is really through you, Jesus? I'm looking through your eyes. I'm thinking with how you think. I'm thinking, is this too arrogant sounding? I'm moving through your hands. I mean, I see my life with my Jesus suit on when I approach every circumstance. I have a picture of Jesus in my life because I read the Gospels. And I see how Jesus lived in the identity of his Father. And he's the template for me. and I can live in His identity successfully, victoriously, in every situation, in every circumstance that He did as the Son of Man, I can do too. Because that's who I am in Him and through Him from now on. You have to see your life through His identity. I forgot the title of this message. The title is, Hold On. Excuse me. So we have to put on Jesus, right? That's our new identity. We have to put Him on, see our life through Him. And then the second point of this is, I'm going to hold on to this identity. Here's where we struggle a lot of times. We hold on to our identity from the internet, from our bank cards, and from our debit cards, and our credit cards, and our social security cards, and our driver's licenses. We hold on to that tighter and more securely than we do our identity in Him. And our identity in Jesus Christ, through Him, and seeing our lives through Him, is more important. Now, I'm not saying those other things aren't important, but our identity through Him is more important than those. That's what we don't hold on to. Why? It's a good question, isn't it? Because it's not cemented. It's not engrafted. It's not part of who we are and what we believe. It isn't reinforced yet. And it's because we haven't chosen it. Haven't chosen it. You have to choose it. And it's not just a one time, I'm going to flip the switch. Okay, I got it. No, you don't. Because our minds aren't fixed there yet, and it hasn't gotten part to be a part of our hearts. Okay, Hebrews 3 verse 6. I'm gonna move along pretty quickly now. Hebrews 3 verse 6. And this is referencing Moses being a son, or excuse me, over his house, the Israelites. And the writer goes on and says, but Christ as a son over His own house, whose house we are as believers. We're a part of His makeup, His body, His identity. Whose house we are if, and this is the qualifier, if we hold fast or hold on to the confidence, to the fearless boldness in the Greek, and the rejoicing of that expectation firm to the end. To make it short, it's not letting go of who we are and being firm and being bold in this new identity through Jesus Christ, with expectation of the fruits of it in our lives, and being able to rejoice in it because it's real and it's true and it's tangible and it produces tangible results. Hebrews 10:23, in tandem with this, Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast or hold on to the confession of our expectation in this new identity without wavering, without going back and forth and doubting and wondering. It's holding on. It is important. I mean, I don't know how to say this any other stronger way. It is, you want to live in the victories. We all want to live in the victories. They're provided, they're done, they're given. Jesus has already paid the price for everyone and every promise. All the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. Are you in him? Are you? Then you're going to live through him and through his identity. And you're going to go into the promises and the fruits, or the fruit of his identity, and everything that comes from it, and all the victory that comes from his identity for you in your life. But you got to hold fast your confession, your profession, what you declare, what you speak. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Luke 6:45. What we really believe will come out of our mouth when we face different circumstances. I think we're all agreed on this, right? We hear what we speak even when we are by ourselves. And we can speak something that debilitates us, that is just defeat, depression, destruction. And we're going to revert and default to what is not, we've not put on. Instead of the new, we're working back into the old. We're choosing to put on the new, so we're going to change how we speak about who we are. And in that confident expectation of the truth and the reality of what we have, we're going to hold on to that confession of our expectation without wavering. This is a choice. How to? All I want to do is give you the definition of putting on. What it means. Like I said, the diving suit and all those things that protected me from a harsh environment that was going to destroy me. It was the suit. It wasn't me. But I was working within the suit and through the suit. This is how we put on our identity in Jesus. It's just a picture. And work through him. He's in us, but we're living through our new identity in him. He's the template. That's where we're at. So putting this on is, in the Greek, I want to say this so that it's real clear, like the suit, the Greek paints a picture in this, is like sinking into clothing. Sinking in. The translators want us to have the picture of actually backing up, sitting down, and kind of sinking in to these clothing attributes that are secure and warm and comfortable, and they work and they do what they're supposed to do, and they provide for us protection, and it goes on and on. But it's sinking in to clothing, making us secure in our environment, whatever it is, whatever it might be. That's to put on. Okay. The second one is to hold fast or hold on to this identity. This definition is our identity that we do not hold on to typically, is to possess and keep it under guard. We don't possess or own and keep under guard, like a bank vault, our new identity through him. That's where we struggle, because we don't have a picture, because it's not really got into our heart. It's just information. We want the identity that we have through Jesus. I want to keep saying this. Through Jesus, as we, whatever we do, we live in him, we live and move and have our being, right? Those aren't just words. That is through who he is, through his identity and all his attributes. That's how we live. But it's holding fast to that no matter what happens. As soon as you walk out the door, I guarantee you today something's going to come up. You're going to have an opportunity today, to live through Jesus and his attributes. It's going to come. You choose to do this. You can choose to do this. This is putting on the new and holding fast. But it gets to be regular, okay? These are both choices that we have to make. They're what we choose. If we don't choose, we lose. We lose out. We lose out of the benefits. We lose out of the blessings. We lose out of the... And it hurts us most of the time. I might be the only one, but every time that I have reverted back to or had the old me come up, and I'm not perfect yet. You all know that, right? Every time. Do you know what it's caused me? Pain.
Yes.
Backfires. Or hurt somebody else. Not even meaning to. That's old. So it's the will. So it's a process of willfully losing my old life and finding and living in my new life, my new identity, and holding fast, securely, like a bank vault. Don't let it go. In perspective, your eternal soul and my eternal soul, and they are eternal, is more important than anything else we possess.
Yes.
That's the reality. Our identity in what we have, what's been given to us in eternal life, if we're born again, is more important than anything else we possess on this earth. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Our eternal soul is more important than anything else. Anything we have, ever will have. And our identity through Jesus Christ is more important than anything else we possess. Okay? We've got to get the picture built of who we are in our hearts and choose it regularly. Has to be past, get past the information stage where it becomes real and we choose it consciously and we hold on to it. It is His ability by grace that makes this a reality to every single born-again believer. This is given to us. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. A little picture, kind of a wrap-up to this, is when you read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, this is just one scripture, but when we read about the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, you're putting on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, shodding your feet with the gospel of peace, and so on. Holding up that shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. What you're doing and what you put on and what Paul wants us to get in this is putting on that new man, putting on the identity of Jesus Christ to our lives. That's what this is. Praise God. Would you all stand with me, please? I really feel led to do this. I want to make a profession, a declaration of our expectation. It's important that we speak and speak out loud the truth. And I tell you why that it's important that we make these statements of faith. Because our ears need to hear. Personally, whether you're by yourself or you're among others corporately, our ears need to hear so that this power, this release of power through our vocal cords can go out of our mouth and it comes around and it goes into our ears. And our ears hear, and then pretty soon they start taking the track or the trail down into our heart. It's with the heart we believe, and we begin to embrace the truth and the reality of what He says. It's so we can see change, okay? Helps our heart believe. We're releasing power every time we speak. So I'm going to ask you, close your eyes. And I would really like, you don't have to do this if you don't want to, but I want to make a declaration for me and for us, if you'd like, about our new identity through Jesus. Are you ready?
Yes.
Say this with me like you mean it. Jesus, I choose you to be my Lord and Savior.
I choose the new identity you have for me now.
Teach me to understand
how to put on and hold on
the identity you gave me.
Teach me how
to destroy continually
the old lesser life
and the identity that comes with it
through the truth of your word.
I declare today
I am new
in you.
I choose you.
I choose my new identity in you.
I choose to live through you now.
In every way.
I expect victory.
I expect differences in my life.
I expect the promises to come to pass.
Help me engraft
my identity in you
fully in my heart
and hold on tight
for the rest of my life.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Prayer team, just want to come on up. Listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, please, man, it's so good. If you need the baptism or would like the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's so good. If you need a miracle, serious. If you need a miracle, it's normal Christianity. I want to encourage you for anything that you might need, questions that you might have. These three up here can not only answer, they can minister to you in faith and power and love, and you see a difference.
Amen?
Amen. Have a blessed and awesome week this week. We love you very much, and I really thank God for all of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks,